We starting a series this morning. We're doing the summer slump, and we began our splitting our services in the summer, which is unheard of because you always have a slump during the summer from vacations, traveling, family get-togethers, whatnots in the summertime. But the Lord bless us. We have increased and grown in the summer, and the morning service is filling up. This service, the Lord has really blessed us and helped us. And but one thing that happens is the summer slump, and we're going to talk about a little bit about that today. We're going to talk about everybody heard the term doldrums. You ever heard the word doldrums? You've been in the doldrums. Is that a Virginia word, or is that something to use around here? How many have never heard the word doldrum? Let's see your hand. How many have heard the word doldrum? Okay, we have a mixed multitude here. We'll tell you a little bit about that in just a second. If you didn't have a grandma around you, grandmas used that word doldrums a lot. That was an old word we used. Everybody stand up if you would. We're going to talk about fresh air. This is not unique with me, original with me, but I've taken it, tailored it, and I'm going to use it. But I really was encouraged. I want to use it in the next few weeks. And said, may the Lord, this is Paul writing, may the Lord bless Onesiphorus and all his family because he visited me and encourage me often. His visits revive me like a breath of what?
Fresh air.
Everybody say again, a breath of what?
Fresh air.
So we're going to talk a series called Fresh Air. And I'll tell you a little bit more. Let's pray. Father, we love you today. Thank you for your presence in this place. Would you be the teacher today? Would you come and break the bread and make it tailor-fed for each person, Lord? What they need today, how they need to be encouraged and challenged. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Everybody said a shout and a good amen today, would you?
Amen.
Amen. All right, you can be seated today. As I said, we're at the time. School starts in about a week, week and a half, 2 weeks, depending on where you're going to school. And normally this is, we're just coming out of the summer. And the key is summer can be a little slump at times in your life. There's a scripture that says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Many times, though, in religious circles, the last place, if you're in a depression or a slump, that you ever think about going to get refreshed is church or religion. Instead of saying, I was glad when they said unto me, I was mad when they said unto me, I was sad. I was glad when they said, let's get over, it's over with, we're going to Piccadilly, you know, eat our whatever. But there is a change when the Lord wants that which he intended to be life-giving, the church, to be that. To be like it is, like Paul wrote and said, a breath of fresh air. It's very easy to turn what the Lord meant to be life-giving into a mundane ritual thing that has no life to it. And it's easy to get into a slump. My job for the next few weeks, I'm going to challenge you to breathe fresh air. Next week, Ben will be preaching. Everybody say amen. Ben will be preaching next week. But my job, and then we're going to go on a few weeks after that, my job is to bring fresh air to your life. You can all get in slumps, whether it's in your marriage or whether it's in your work, whether it's in attending church, and things have become mundane that should be exciting. And Paul got in that shape. When you read the book of Acts, Paul would get in slumps. Jesus appeared one time to him in jail, said, don't be discouraged. Be encouraged, Paul. That meant Paul was discouraged. And there was another time he used to get in slumps. He would get tired. He would get down. He would get in a dead zone. He'd get in a doldrum. And in the book of Timothy, I like what he wrote here, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul was, he's a central figure of the New Testament, wrote over two-thirds of the New Testament, missionary journeys, on and on. But Paul got in a slump, and Paul had a friend, though, that refreshed him. Now, we all have friends that drain us, but we also have friends that refresh us. And notice what Paul said here. May the Lord bless Onesiphorus. May the Lord bless Onesiphorus for all his and all his family because he visited me and encouraged me often. Paul was in jail, prison. I won't get into all that. But he encouraged me and visited me often. His visits revived me like a breath of fresh air. Everybody say fresh air again. His visits revived me. And this series is dedicated to everyone that's in a slump, stagnant, litless, despondent, negative, things are not going so well. And you're in that place where you know you need to do it, but you just can't do it. You know you ought to do it, but you just don't want to do it. All right? You ever been there? And it's like brushing. You're in bed, you know you need to brush your teeth, but you know you can't. You know, they got a new thing now in the dentistry office that says they learned about flossing. You don't have to floss all your teeth. Did you learn? Did you see that? Only keep the only floss the ones you want to keep. Isn't that great? It's really good. All right, we're gonna put some wind back in your sails spiritually. The word doldrum was a sailing term, and it's a special spot in the ocean where, because of the way the earth rotates, there's no wind. It's where the northern hemisphere and the southern hemisphere meet, and in that place, literally the currents and the clouds go in opposite direction. It's somewhere near the equator. And it creates a zone called, and they literally call it the doldrums. The doldrums was a place where every sailor back in the day, before there was motorized boats, and many of those big boats didn't have oars that could reach the water, they did not go near the doldrums, because they knew if they got in the doldrums, it was a place where there was absolutely no wind. It was a place where there's absolutely no wind happening. And they were all run by sails back then. And what those sailors would do, they would try to find the trade winds. They had maps that showed here's the trade winds where they go. And you catch those, you cross the ocean. But if they got near the equator, they would end up in these places called the doldrums. And it was a zone that literally was a death zone. You read the stories of how many of the ships that were caught there, the sailors died. They'd end up being cannibalized by each other. I mean, just horrible stories of those that were caught in the doldrums. Places where there was no wind. But you wouldn't dare be caught there because there was no way out. And literally, there's not even a breath of wind, they would say. And most of them that were caught in them, they did die. And it relates to us today because we use that term today. We're just in the doldrums. Man, we're just caught in the doldrums. In our marriage, in our career, in our spiritual life, in our relationships. We're just in the doldrums. We're in a place where there's just no wind, no activity. We're despondent. We get stuck in a zone where there's no life, no breath, whatever. And maybe that describes you in maybe an area or a facet of your life, and we're going to talk about that today. Now, I'm going to challenge you with things that you can do to get out of the dead zone. I'm going to challenge you with things that you can do to get out of the doldrums in your life. And you're not going to like some of them. Some of them you will. And today, we're focusing on fellowship. Today, and I wouldn't normally start with this one, but we're focused on fellowship today, so I'm going to hit on that one, what the Bible calls fellowship. And I found this. One of the things I've learned after many, many years of pastoring and counseling, people come in that's taken them 20, 30 years to get in a problem. And they come in, and they want me or any of my staff within an hour counseling to get them immediately out of their 30-year problem by laying hands on them, anointing them with oil, giving them the special word, and that's going to free them, create them, come down the altar, let me lay hands. That'll take care of all the mess you made for 20 years. I remember one guy came in, he described everything. He said, man, she's mad at me. I did this, I did that, I did that, I did it. Man, she's mad. What do you think? I said, I think you're in trouble. Come on, somebody. There ain't no secret word I could tell you to get you out of the dumb stuff you just did. But what I'm telling you is if you'll stay at it, I believe that within the end of this, it'll take some time. You won't get there overnight. You won't get there in a day. You won't get there in a week. It takes some stickability to get in there and go through this thing and get out of it. If you're stuck in the doldrums where there's no breath in life, and we'll talk more about that next week, or the week after. I want to talk to you about some areas of your life that need fresh air. Paul wrote and said this guy, Onesiphorus, he would come into our lives and it was like a breath of fresh air. He revived us, that he would speak to us. And the Bible speaks about this as fellowship. Some place where everybody knows your name. We'll use that in a minute. Everyone needs a few people who really know you. See, in this congregation, this is it's what we may call fellowship. But let me just say this. Hebrews chapter 10 says it this way. Not giving up meeting. Everybody say meeting. Meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. You don't need to talk to me about fellowship, Pastor. I'm meeting. We're in a meeting right now. What do you think? We're in a meeting. Well, this is not what Hebrews is talking about. He's not talking about coming to a church and staring at the person's the backside of their head, and that's called a meeting. Somebody right now is staring at the back of your head. Did you know that? They're saying they need to color their hair. They need to, you know, they need to get trim. They need, you know, they got some dead ends. They got this. They got that. You know, they need to get, you know, look a mirror because they're, you know, their hair waves in the back. And they need to, you know, do all this and that. They're thinking, that is not fellowship. It's not fellowship at a break. Hey, how you? I'm doing good. How you? I'm doing good. How you? I'm doing good. How you? I'm doing. How do you? I'm doing good. 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 That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about getting into a relationship, a fellowship, where they know your name and you know their name. And I'll expand on that a little bit. It's not talking about the big meeting. It's talking about the small meetings you can be a part of where everybody knows your name. 25, at the end approaches, the key is it's going to get tougher as the end approaches. And as the end approaches, we need each other more than we ever know we need each other. You know, when 9/11 happened, when the hurricanes hit, we need each other more than we ever knew that we needed each other. We opened our building up here. We housed people out of Katrina when all that took place. We need people. As the day approaches, you're going to find you're going to need more than who was that I shook hands with and said, hey, yeah, I'm doing fine. He's doing fine. You're going to need more. You're going to need somebody that knows your name. Nobody in here knows everybody's name in this place. This is absolutely impossible. But I'm going to be up front with you. My goal in this today is going to be to try to convince you and to encourage you to make fellowship a priority of your life. To make fellowship a priority of your life. Why walk alone? Why walk alone in your life? Ecclesiastes says it this way. Tells a story of a man that tried to walk it alone, and listen to how it came out in his life. There was a man, everybody say with me, all. There was a man, what? All alone. There was a man all alone. I want to dedicate this message to the person who may be surrounded by people, but you're really all alone. You might have lots of companions, but you're really all alone. There was a man all alone. Verse 8 says, he had neither son nor brother, which means he had nobody to call family. There was nobody in his life that he could call family. They were just companions. They were just acquaintances. But there was nobody in his life that he could call family. He had neither son nor brother. Now, notice what happens to him. Notice what happens to him. The man all alone, he had neither son nor brother. Look what happens to him. There was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. Instead of fellowship, instead of intimate relationships, he tried to substitute wealth and toiling and job and hobbies and whatever he tried to do didn't scratch the itch that was on him, deep inside of him. He had wealth, he had toil, he had work, he got up 8 to 5 in investments and all that he did. But the Bible says with all of that, there was no contentment. Paul said having contentment, that's one of the greatest things in life, is being, they asked, I think it was Rockefeller, one of them, how much is enough? He said, one penny more. There's never enough. And he was not content. And listen, until you make relationships, until you stop trying to do it alone, until you begin to get in fellowship to where somebody knows you and you know somebody, then you will never be content. And all those things you tried to substitute because of that will not happen. So why walk alone? Let me give you a few maybe reasons why we walk alone. This is on your little handout here. You can start filling these in. This is some reasons why people walk alone, all right? Let me get number one is naivety. Maybe you're naive. Maybe in other words, maybe you don't even know you need somebody. Maybe you grew up and you didn't really understand it. You never experienced true fellowship, so you don't know how good it is. You remember that. You know how it is. Those young boys, I don't need no girl. I don't need no girl. I'm a boy. I'm going to play boy game. I don't do all that. And then the first time, you know, you saw that. Well, the same thing is true with fellowship. You might be naive and you've never been in a close relationship with another believer. I'm not talking about marriage here. I'm talking about fellowship with other believers. Some people think, I can do it myself. One time Muhammad Ali was on an airplane And they were about to land, and the stewardess comes on and says, you know, please buckle up. We're about to land. And she goes by checking all the seat belts, and there's Muhammad Ali in first class. He don't have his seatbelt on. She said, sir, you need to put your seatbelt on. He said, Superman don't need no seatbelt. And she said, yeah, but Superman don't need no airplane either. Put your belt on. Come on, somebody. And some of us have this Muhammad Ali attitude. We don't need nobody. We do it ourselves. We don't need nobody in our lives. You know, we're all whatever it can be. I can handle this myself. I remember the story you read that of the little second grade class that one of the little boys got cancer and had to go through chemo and lost his hair and was embarrassed to go back to school until he heard that every other little boy in that second grade class shaved his head. Come on, somebody. See, there are times when things that go on, you need somebody. When you've had close fellowship, you understand it. Second reason maybe you don't have close fellowship is temperament. Number two, you can write that in there, the second line. Temperament. I'm just not an outgoing person. I'm just a shy person. Can I tell you, if there's probably not a more shy person in this room than me growing up. I had a speech impediment. I wouldn't talk. When I got my first job, I would not talk. They said sometimes it would be noon before I'd utter a word because I didn't like to speak. And when I started coming to this church, back when we used to meet on Wooddale Boulevard over off of Florida Boulevard in the warehouse, we called it, I'd drive up late, and I would time it when I knew the song service started. I would slip in the back pew. We had chairs back then. And then I would wait. When they were singing the last benediction, I would slip out the back door, get in my car, and I would drive off because I was too shy to talk to anybody. Yeah, that's just the way. Everybody go, isn't that so bad? But I'm going to tell you this. Maybe God wants to change your temperament. He can do something in you. Yeah, but I'd say you still need it. You need to move past that because it's critical for your Christian walk. Number three, it's fear. Maybe the reason you're not part of a fellowship, a small fellowship, is because of fear. Well, if I go to a small group, what will they do? And a lot of you think, in your mind you think, they're all going to wait for me at the door, and I'm going to walk up there, and they're going to open the door, and they're going to have a chair out in the middle of it. They're going to put me in this chair, and for 4 hours they're going to lay hands on me until I confess every sin I've ever committed in my life. That is not going to happen. On your first, that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Some of you feel like, it's just a story about they finally got in a group, and finally one guy got brave and said, okay, I got to confess, I've got a lust problem, pornography, I tap on the computer, I go on sites. And next guy said, well, now I got to confess too, I've got a gambling problem, it's put my family in jeopardy. And the third guy raises his hand and says, I've got a gossip problem, I can't wait to get out of here. Come on, somebody. It's not going to happen like that, all right? Everybody say fellowship, would you? Some of you are afraid that guy will be in your group that you would be a part of. Maybe the fourth reason would be past experiences. Maybe you've been in a small group. Maybe you've been in a relationship. Maybe it's a family relationship and you got hurt, damaged. Let me tell you something about those kind of things. None of those things happen by chance. Those things were designed, relationship problems, issues, were designed by the enemy to keep you from ever encountering a close relationship again. Some of you say, you know that girl at work that tells you, yeah, y'all not let your man do that. Your man ought to do that because she ain't got no man. Come on, somebody. And so you got to come to the place where you realize that the devil will wound you to keep you. And what happens is it's the enemy's tactic to bring you to a place of literally never coming into a close relationship. And then the fifth one, the last one, would be the busyness. And that's epidemic, becoming busy. Write that one in, which word? Being busy. That affects our families, our wives, our marriage, our kids, our work, our health. Being too busy. Man, I can't be a part of a small group. Man, you know how much stuff I got to do. You know how much I got on my platter. You know how much I got. Well, let me tell you something. Who put all that on your platter? Who put all that on your plate? And who's telling you, if you got on there, you can take it off. I'm just telling you is you ought to make priorities priorities. You got to keep the first things the first things. And one of the most important things you'll ever do in your life is fellowship. I've learned this. I'm a goal-oriented person, and I can do things and work things and go that. And Jen's like, come on, let's go out to eat. Come on, let's go out and see some. Come on, let's go to the hospital. And I'm thinking, I want to get this done. I've got my to-do list, and that last one's not checked off yet. But you know what I've done after I do it? Relationships mean more than anything else that needs to be checked off your to-do list. When you learn how important relationships are to your life, and you need to deal with the busyness, listen to how Chuck Swindoll said it. He said, nobody is a whole team. We need each other. You need someone, and someone needs you. To make this thing called life really work, we've got to lean and support, relate and respond, give and take, confess and forgive, reach out and embrace. Since none of us is a whole, independent, self-sufficient, all-powerful hotshot, let's quit acting like we are. Life's hard enough without playing that silly game. The game's over. Let's get together in small groups. Everybody say fellowship, would you? God never intended us to walk alone. You know, within our church, we have all kinds of small groups. We do a free market system. And in our church, we have, I mean, you ought to see, we on our back table back here, we have some sign-up sheets that you're going to be using at the end of the service. On there, we have everything from studying Hebrew, Old Testament, crocheting, crafts, you name it. I mean, it does not matter to us why you gather together, only that you gather together. Because in that, you will form long-lasting relationships that will be so healthy to your life that nothing else can do. Paul said, I had a friend that came and visited me, and his visits revived me, and it was like a breath of fresh air into my life. Can I tell you something about small groups and fellowships? They will be a breath of fresh air into your life. They will sustain you. They will get the cynicism and all the other things out of your life. What everybody, listen, look at Romans chapter 12. Look at this one. Romans 12, so it is in Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to what? Look at somebody and say, you need me. Would you say, you need me? Would you say it? Now, look at somebody who was your second choice and say, you need me too. I didn't choose you first, but I'll just tell you, you need me. I basically believe there's four aspects to our life that in a major, in a big room like this, we only kind of reveal one of them. And then, but a small fellowship is a place where you can open up and all the other three aspects of your life can be known. Because, and I'll show you through that, and we'll end that before we end up today. Let me just give you one. The first one, I believe it's small groups that can actually touch all four aspects. But let me define these areas and see how we need one another. Number one, the first aspect of your life we'll call the arena. All right? And the arena is the place where I know and you know. You know today that I wore different clothes. I normally dress a little bit dressier, but I dressed down today. So you're thinking, why did he dress down today? He doesn't look like he normally looks. What's going on? Is there something wrong? Is his wife gone? Did he get by without his wife seeing him today? Or whatever might take place. And I just did it on purpose today because you know what I wore and I know what I wore. Now, some days I don't know what I wear, but I know that I wore it. But you know, so there are some things that are public. You know that I got my hair, you know, this way. You know that I'm 57, so now you know that about me. I know that about me. The arena of our life are those things when they know about you and you know about it. You expose it, you tell about it, on and on. But how many of you know there's some things I know about myself you don't know about me? Well, I'll talk about it in just a minute. But, so what I need in my life, here's what I need. I need people who really know me. Write that in. I need people who really know me. I need people who really know me. 1 Corinthians 2:11 says in this way, who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? See, unless you've got some gift of the Holy Spirit, I don't have a clue what you're thinking. You can be sitting there looking. How many of you ever sit there and looked at me and you're thinking, spaghetti, I've got to cook spaghetti today. And you're looking as holy as can look, but you're thinking, I need to get those noodles. I wonder if we did this. And then I've got school next week, and I've got school. Oh, yeah, praise God. Yes, Pastor. And, I'm not dumb. I'm not dumb. Like, your every intent is on what I'm saying. That guy we showed the video, I didn't see a few weeks ago, that had a hissy fit in the pulpit. He went and woke a guy up, and somebody else said, man, he'll never come back. He said, well, he's not here right now. He's not here anyway. He's sitting there sleeping. All right, we'll leave that right there. All right, I need people who really know me and nobody. All right, In the first service, I told the story, we have an ex-Marine in the first service, Mr. Fallon. And Mr. Fallon is a man's man. We were with him when his wife passed, and a very private person. And if you ever saw Mr. Fallon, he comes in with he is dressed, whether he's got a tie and a suit on or he's got regular clothes on, he's dressed. And he got sick, and none of us knew it. But he's part of a small group, and that small group knew about it. And they called me from the hospital. Hey, Mr. Fallon, we just want you to know Mr. Fallon is doing this. It was Denny and Dory's group. Mr. Fallon's doing this. Hey, in here, you want to talk to him? And handed the phone to him. I said, hey, Mr. Fallon, what's happening? And they helped him and on and on. Let me tell you something. There are things that nobody else will know about. How many of you have ever had a problem and the church didn't respond because we didn't know about it? Yeah, you went through a death in your family. You went through a sickness in your home. You went through a birth of a child and all that. And there's no way we can know and do all that. But if you're part of a small fellowship, those that know your name, they take care of that. They know about it. They jump in. They help. That's what small fellowships are about. So there are things that you know and I know. Now, number two is the mask, all right? And that's part of our aspect of our life where I know, but you don't know. I know, but you don't know. I've got some stuff that you don't know about. You got some stuff I don't know about. Is that right?
Gonna get a better amen in this mask church.
You've got a mask, and you don't tell everything to everybody. You know, there are a few people around somebody say, hey, you know, I'm doing awful. I've been to the doctor four times. I've been there, I don't know, and they just tell everything. But most people don't do that. They put a mask up. They don't tell everything. The mask aspect of your life is I know, but you don't. I know, but you don't. And you're not going to do that on a Sunday morning when you get up. How you doing? Fine. How you doing? Fine. When it's church service, when you're gathering together, that's where you stay in the arena. I know, you know. That's about it. But in a small group is where the opportunity comes to take the mask off and begin to share some things. So what do I need? What do I need here? I need people who will protect me. I need people who will protect me. All right? Let me just tell you this. Here's how it works. If you've got a mask and you've got things you're hiding, if you're the only person that knows about them, you're in trouble. The most unhealthy thing you can do is have a problem and nobody else know about it but you. That's why you have leaders, whether it's in the political realm or whether it's in the religious realm. Suddenly one day it comes up on the internet, did you hear about so-and-so? They did this, they did that, they got caught in this, they got caught in that. You know why? Because they had a problem and nobody else knew about it but them. They were dealing with it, but nobody else knew they were dealing with it, and so they were doing it. It's the banana, I say it over and over, it's the banana that gets separated from the bunch that gets peeled. And when the devil wants to take you down, he takes you down. You saw that a lot. So what do I need? I need people who will protect me. Small groups is a place where you can do that. Somewhere along the way, you'll have confidence to expect. Look at 2 Corinthians 4, what it says. We refuse to wear masks and play games, Paul says. We don't maneuver or manipulate behind the scenes. We don't twist God's word to suit ourselves. Rather, we keep everything we do and say out in the open, the whole truth on display, so that those who want to can see and judge for themselves in the presence of God. We don't wear masks. Now, listen. Only God can forgive your sins. I cannot. I'm not a priest. I'm not the Pope. I cannot forgive your sins. God and God alone can forgive your sins. 1 John 1 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sins. So then what does this deal have to do with us confessing sins, one, or telling somebody, getting somebody close? Here, watch this. Watch this. Therefore, James says, confess your sins to each other. Not that we can say, I forgive you. No, you can't forgive anybody's sin. Only God can do that. So confession of what your habits you're dealing with has nothing to do with forgiveness between each other. And you should do this if you're a man, do it. Find another man you can trust. Woman, find another woman you can trust. Never do it all the way. Do it that way. And here's what happens. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be what? Delivered, healed from that habitual sin. How's that work, Pastor? Get in a small fellowship And the next time you shared with a brother or a sister in there and you shared with them, and let's just say it's a guy and they say, you know, I'm a businessman. I travel all the time. And, you know, I get in places and I go to clubs and I watch stuff I shouldn't, or I go gambling and shouldn't, you know, and I just said, next time you're on a business trip, here's what happens. You're on a business trip, and that first day of that business trip, you get off work, your phone rings. Oh, somebody, it's my guy I just got to know in a small group. Hey, how you doing? I'm just checking on you. How's the date going? What you going to do tonight? Come on, somebody. Where you going? What you watching on TV tonight? Where you going to move? What you going to do? How's it going? How did yesterday do? Somebody say amen, would you? All right, because they know about it. All right, number three, blind spots. Here's another aspect of your life. That is, here's the, what is it? That is, I don't know, but you know. How many know there, every one of us has a blind spot? Let me say it this way. I wrote it down just like I said, just like I want to say it. It's like this. Did you know that you have an area like that in your life?
Yes.
No, you don't know, because it's a blind spot. That's why it's a blind spot. You don't know it. But we all know it.
Yeah.
Come on, Jasmine, say it again. She said she don't. That's why they call it a blind spot. Because let me ask this. I have a blind spot, and you know it, right? You know I'm here all the time. You know it. He does that same thing over and over and over. He just does it over. He just doesn't see it, but you all, is that right? You see it. And you have a blind spot, and you don't see it, but everybody around you sees it. We all know it. Oh, you're a live bunch today, I can tell. You know what it's like? You ever eat spinach? And then leave the house, just smile. And you got a hanger right there. You got a hanger right there coming out of there. And nobody is saying a word. Friends don't let friends have hangers. Come on, somebody. They tell you, hey, you got a hanger. I mean, I used to lead worship all the time. I used to lead the worship here for years and years and years. And what we were wild. We'd dance. We'd just go wild. And one time, I'm leading worship. I'm dancing. And everybody's worshiping God. And one of my deacons came dancing up the aisle. And I was watching. And here's what he started doing. He's facing this way toward me. And here's what he's doing. He's going. He was telling me my fly was open. That's what he was saying. If you don't pick it up. At first, I thought, that's a strange anointing, you know. So I said, everybody, praise God. Clap your hands. All right, hallelujah. All right, what do I need? What do I need? I need people who will be honest with me. I need people who say, hey, we need to talk. We need to sit down and talk. You need people in your life like that. Oh, I don't know. Proverbs 27:6 says it this way. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Nathan to David, you can get all that. A friend is one who will take time and says, we need to talk. You know, the Bible says on over, the enemy is the one who says, you're good, you're sweet, you're great, nothing wrong, da, da, da. A friend is a faithful friend. The wounds of a faithful friend, or you know what I mean. Okay. Woo, I can't dance anymore. Dance too many times. All right, number four, the last one this morning, is potential. Potential is, I don't know, and you don't know. See, when I first started coming here, I joined a group called the Power Company. And they didn't know who I was. They didn't know my potential. I didn't know my potential. And my job in the Power Company, we used to be a group that go out and sing at parking lots. My job was to write the follow-up letters to everybody that got saved on the parking lot. And that's how I started my whole ministry here, was I just wrote letters. I remember the first time somebody said, "Hey, this is good, man. This is excellent." I wrote a letter, just encourage them in their walk and all that it is. And then I got put on the parking lot committee, and then I got put over the parking lot committee. And we used to not have any lines, any parking spaces. We used to have not any aisles. We just parked you everywhere we could. We parked you in the middle and all this and that. And I became head over the parking lot. I took care of every car like they were my sheep. I don't know if you noticed that back tire back there, but you know it's got a little thing on there. And I was part of a parking lot committee, and we were a group, and we were a small group. We spent time, we went out to eat together, we did all this and that. But we trained, and those things began. My potential, you will reach your potential in a small group far more than you'll ever do it on your own. You will always hit a ceiling when you're by yourself trying to reach your potential. You'll never do it on your own. You'll reach your potential in a group. There's no Zambian proverb that says, when you run alone, you run fast. But when you run together, you run far. When you run alone, you run fast. But when you run together, you run far. And our heart's desire for you is for you to run far. Not just to go to church and all your life just fall off in the grave one day. And I was a faithful church member. You've got potential that only God knows. You've got gifts that God wants to use. Get involved in a group. Become part of a small fellowship where literally that's where your gifts can do. So what do I need? I need people who will grow me. What do I need? I need people who will grow me. Proverbs 27 says it this way, verse 17. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. As iron sharpens iron, so does one person sharpen. I would never be in this pulpit had I not started with the power company writing letters on the follow-up. My potential began to come out. Then I became part of the parking lot committee. My potential began to come out. And so as you begin to do that, if you'll become part of a small, your potential, look at the next scripture, what it says. One who has unreliable friends, and one the translation says acquaintances. If you've got unreliable friends, soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. You know what you need more than anything? You don't need a bunch of acquaintances. You don't need 200 acquaintances or unfaithful friends. What you need is you need a small group where you can find a brother or sister who it becomes like there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You just need a small person that's around your life that can speak into your life and begin to grow you, begin to do things. People will stand with you and grow you. I'm 58 years old, 57 years old, and one of the shows on TV when I grew up was a sitcom called Cheers, and Cheers was a sitcom about a bar, and it's very, and I say this, what it was is what the church ought to be, a place where you could go and unload your heart, unload your troubles, talk about it, find out that all of our cares were like each other's, that we weren't so different from each other. And it was a place where it was owned by Sam Malone, who was an ex-Red Sox pitcher. And he never drank. He owned a bar, but he never drank. And on like that. But there was this, the intro song to that series is what I loved. What's what everybody loved. So I want you to listen to it. We got the words of it. Just listen to it and picture a small group this way. Would you watch this?
Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you wanna go where everybody knows your name.
Come on, give the Lord a good clap off. Do that, come on. Come on, Ben. We've got on the back table, here's what we're going to challenge you to do. We're going to start groups next Sunday, which starts at about 10:15. And we're going to ask you to come, if you want to know where they are, come into the into the double glass doors, and right there, there's a room on your left, a little information. We're going to have people there with maps for every group and tell you exactly where they are next Sunday morning. And we're going to challenge you to become part of a group for the next 3 months. That's all it is, just 3 months. That's all it is, 3 months. It'll pass just like that. But I'm going to guarantee you that if you need to get out of the doldrums, if you need to get some wind back in your sails, if you need to get out of despondency and all that you're stuck into, let me tell you, the best thing you'll ever do is become part of a small group. It'll be like Paul, where you sit, you got fresh air, got a breath of fresh air back in you by the visiting that. And we're going to do that. So it's a three-month commitment. That's all it is. Be a part of it. I'm going to guarantee you it'll change your life. Ben, what you explain to him?
All right, repeat after me. I will not be a banana. Outside of the bunch. All right, keep repeating. If I am not in a small group, I will put my name on one of these pieces of paper. All right, the Lord heard you. We heard you. That, amen. All right, but we wanted to kind of highlight the groups real quick before we release you guys to go and sign up. And if you pull out your handout, it was in every bulletin, I think. If you didn't get one, share with the people next to you. If they won't share, share with the people behind you. If they won't share, you're stuck. I don't have anything else for you. That's all I got. But pull it out. We're going to go over these just real briefly. That way you get a sense of what we're offering. And then the leaders are going to be at their sign-up sheets, and you can talk with them a little bit more about their group. So if you're just kind of interested, go by the sign-up sheet. If the leader's not there, just sign up. Try it for a week. Try it for 2 weeks. See if you like it. If not, try another one. There's a spot. We wanted to make that the emphasis of it. There's a spot for everyone. There's a way. A spot for everyone that comes with a catch. Mr. Wesley Cannon was talking to me in the 9 o'clock service, and he said I'd like to join two of them. He said, you know, you've got Old Testament, and then you've got like the college group, like the singles and things. He said, I like to do old singles. I'm like, well, you know, we don't have that yet, but if you want to lead it, you know, we'll do it. We might change the name, but you know, we'll have it. But let's start with the age specific ones: at junior high and high school, and then college group. If you notice, the college group has the best leaders of any of the groups. Those guys really know what they're doing. And then the Overcomers with Greg and Mark. Then Old Men with Stories with my grandfather. If you know someone, or if your father or grandfather wants to be part of that, they meet on Saturdays at 2. They're one of the ones that meets at a different time, just back there in the office building. They just want to, you know, fellowship together, just tell stories, hang out. If you want to listen to stories, you can come, but unless you're 60 or older, you can't tell any, so... That's open to you. Then the SWAT team, Saints with a Task, with Denny Dory. Someone caught me, Mr. Jack Cameron caught me earlier. He said they want to change it to Sweets, I think. Sweets for the Treat or something like that. He was joking. But if you go to that one, if you go to that one, I was saying earlier, if I could join one, I would join that one. They have parties all the time. Like, they are always, every time you hear about one of the small groups having a party during the week, it's Mr. Denny and Ms. Dory. And I think they have Hershey Kisses back there, so we can't really compete with that. So if nothing else, go by and get one of those and talk with them. And then the topical ones. And these, you know, if you don't feel like going one, you know, the age groups or things like that, these are great for 3 months to study a particular topic. You won't become an expert, obviously, but it's a great way to really focus in on something that you might be interested in. We've got finances with Mr. Wally. And then Greek and Hebrew with Ms. Jennifer Kirkes, and she told me a little bit more. It's more studying, you know, the root of words, how to look up words on your own, how to be able to study the original Greek and Hebrew, and do a more in-depth Bible study. Love Knit with my wife. She wants to do crocheting for orphans. And this is a real practical one. You know, if you want to just come and crochet, and they'll teach you how to crochet if you don't know. I won't teach you how to crochet. Somebody will if you don't know how to. But that's just something to do, you know. You're here at church, do it on your own time, while you're watching TV, while you're doing something else, anything but driving. You can crochet and have a scarf for Christmas for an orphan, and they're going to talk to you a little more about that. Blended families with the Risponis, and this is, you know, if you come, if you've ever been a part of a blended family, then you would know that there's different challenges. So this is for the parents, for the kids, it's for the whole group to come and learn a little bit more about the challenges that affect a family like that. Creations, crafting with Ms. Martha. This could be a fun one. If you've got an artistic talent and you want to learn how to, you know, kind of pair that with your spirituality, learn with other people who have that artistic talent. She's going to teach different creations, different ways to make things. Old Testament with Mr. Doug. Doug got with me. I was telling him we wanted him to teach a Russian class too, and he said, "Well, you know, we'll do Old Testament in Russian." And so if you ever wanted to study Old Testament in Russian, actually, no, I'm joking. It's in English, and you know, if you want it in Russian, I'm sure he'll do that for you afterwards. But this is that's a great way. You know, if you're really interested in these topics, you know. in a sermon, you won't get the whole entire breadth of the book or the whole entire breadth of the Old Testament or New Testament. These are great ways to really go in depth. Freedom and a Fresh Start with Ms. Donna. This is for people who are overcoming something. If you have, whether it's an addiction, whether it's just overeating, whether it's alcoholism or whether it's, you know, depression, if you suffer from that kind of thing, from some kind of obstacle, something you can't get over on your own, this is a great way to link with other people who are also struggling. And then to link with leaders who are able to teach you, who have been through this, who have been through different things that you've been through, and they can teach you how to overcome it in your life. They meet a lot of different times during the week. So if you're your schedule's busy after the 9 o'clock service in between, or you want to meet on a Monday, I think they meet on Wednesday nights, Friday nights. They meet according to your schedule. So talk with Ms. Donna about that. The Bible study with Mr. Dave Williams. And again, this is a great way to really go in depth on a lot of different biblical issues. And if you want to bring a topic, I'm sure they're willing to do it. You know, it's not set in stone what their curriculum is going to be. Bring something that you'd like to talk about. Prayer with Miss Linda. They meet in here on Sundays. It's a great way to cover the sanctuary in prayer. Couples with Rick and Mary Hansen. And they've expanded this. You know, they're covering now married couples with kids, people in their 20s, 30s, 40s. If you're learning, you know, how to become, even if you're an old couple, and you have some issues you want to talk about, you want to connect with other couples, or you're having trouble raising kids, that sort of thing. It's a great way to get connected. And they do a lot of stuff, too, on the weekends. And then, you know, it's a great time, too. That group especially has childcare. You know, if you want to come to the group, put your kids up there, not come back and get them, you know, till the next day, you can do that. Miss Connie's not in here, is she? Okay, good. Yeah, Miss Connie would get mad at me for that one. But, you know, and then Bright, Bold, and Beautiful with Pastor Kenny. And that's a great group. They meet up front. They go through a lot of different things. They cover a lot of topics: finances, biblical studies, family life. And that's a more just general topic. And they go in depth. But it's a great way, you know, to get connected with a bigger group. So I want to encourage you guys, come back to the tables and meet the leader. If you're interested in one of these groups, come meet the leader, talk with them, and just learn their heart. I said it in the 9 o'clock service. When we opened these groups, we really prayed over who would lead them. And in their hearts, whether their heart would be, you know, for just being in a leadership position or whether it would be for the people that are in their group. And so each of these we brought for the Lord. We let him do the vetting. We let him do the weeding out and choosing these leaders. And every single one of them has a heart for the people in their group. And so come back, talk with them. If you're not convinced, you know, let them convince you, whether it's with chocolates and on the back table or whether it's, you know, and whatever it is, come back and talk to them and just get in one of these groups. It's a really great way to get connected.
All right. And if you don't sign up today, come on back. What we do is at 10:15, be back about 10:10 in the little information room right in the back, the glass doors. We'll have maps and everything laid out. And listen, you can try one. If you don't like it, try another one. It's not stuck. When you try one, try it. That's not your cup of tea, go to the next one. I understand that at all. Nothing. It's a 3-month deal, so it'd be a great to you. Relationships are the biggest and the best decisions you'll ever make in your life, relationships. Ben just got finished. He'd been traveling a little bit the last 3-4 months because of weddings of friends in college. And they're all getting married. And so they all came to his and he went to theirs. And because it's lifelong friends you make. And I'm going to tell you, in these small groups, you'll make lifelong friends that'll change your life. And they will be there for you and they'll be healthy for you. And you'll get a breath of fresh air into you. You'll get out of cynicism. You just begin to love, just encouraging. And it's a place where everybody will know your name. Now, speaking of relationships, we end with this. One of the greatest relationships you'll ever have is with Jesus Christ. And in fact, Jesus said this, it's the level of your relationship will determine your eternity. Because he said there are some people that will come on that day, at Judgment Day, and they will say, we have a relationship with you, Lord. We called you Lord, Lord. We did this, we did that, we did all these things. And you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, I will say unto you, depart from me because I never what? Never was in an intimate relationship with you. You came and checked me out on weekends. You did the deal. You did the checklist and you went to church. But you never really knew me. You sat in church. You thought about everything else but what was being said or thought about me. And so you just checked me out. You're just acquaintance. You're just you're not really there. And so what the Lord said, one of the keys about your eternity will be based on the level of your relationship with Jesus. And there's a level that comes where it's called intimacy, where you know the Lord and he knows you. And you come to face and you've experienced it. And what that happens is this, it will be the easiest thing you ever did to know the Lord, but it will cost you everything. It's not complicated, but it's costly. It will cost you everything. It will cost you your life.
It'll cost you everything. You've got to not just call him Lord. You've got to make him Lord. You've got to allow him to be the Lord of your life. That means surrender everything. Confess all of your sin. Lord, I confess I'm a sinner. I ask you by what you did on the cross is what saves me. Not by any good works of righteousness, but it's what you did. Close your eyes. I want you, if you're here this morning and you know that your relationship with Jesus is just surface, you're just an acquaintance, you're not really an intimate friend of his, then I want you to do this. If you're willing and you want to change that relationship level, you can do it today. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and you make this your own. If this is your heart to do it, and you want to come into an intimate relationship with him, I want everybody to pray with me. Would you say, Dear Lord, this morning I repent of just being an acquaintance. I want to know you in a deep relationship. I surrender my life. I confess I'm a sinner. I thank you for the cross. What you did there saved me. Would you take over my life? I surrender everything. I ask you to come into my life and live within me. And I make you Lord of my life. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, I pray for those, but also right now I pray for the body of Christ. I pray for health, and I pray for every person in here to feel the that's in the doldrums, that's caught in the dead zone, that's really don't know what to do. Lord, would you this morning give them the courage to become part of a small fellowship that they can feel a breath of fresh air? We ask it in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Give the Lord a good clap offering one more time. Would you do that? God bless you. Greet somebody, then go back to tables. You're dismissed. We'll see you Wednesday night.